Hi, good morning, everybody. I'm Tracy. I'm the house church leader of McCain House Church. I must say, this is quite nerve-wracking. I can't believe I've been with SP since, I don't know, 2003. And this is the first time I've ever led EMP. Forgive me in advance for any inadequacies, but yes, let me open up in prayer with the guidance given by the One app for today, April 13th. Lord Jesus, I praise you for your obedience to your Father, even to death on the cross. I thank and glorify you for your great love, that you were willing to die for me, and help me to live my life entirely for you. In Jesus' name, amen. And today's scripture readings, first scripture reading is from John 19, 28, verses 28 to 42. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took his body away. Nicodemus, also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they came, so they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So, because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. And the second scripture for today is a 3 John verses chapter 1 verses 1 to 4. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Amen. So today, I'll be sharing what God has put in my heart and also in my head about John 19. Now, I grew up in a non-Christian family, so I never had much exposure to stories from the Bible as a kid. I vaguely recall going to Sunday school once with a neighbor when I was 8. And that day, I remember I learned about Jesus feeding the multitude with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And nobody had ever told me that the Bible consisted of actual historical events. So I left that Sunday school that day thinking that these fantastical stories about Jesus were fictional, just like other fairy tales and fables that I'd read as a child. It, you know, I'm ashamed to say it wasn't till I was much older when I learned that, you know, the Bible wasn't a work of fiction and actually recorded actual events in history. And, you know, and some of it with what might seem like a strangely painstaking amount of detail, like in the scripture that we just read, you know, this passage in John 19 meticulously describes the way Jesus died. You know, the fact that he was thirsty, that he drank sour wine, how he said it is finished as he died. You know, even more detail is given about how his corpse was handled, how his bones were left unbroken, and that a soldier pierced him to check that he was really dead. And the fact that, you know, there was a tomb nearby for Jesus so that he could be buried, you know, before the Sabbath. You know, so I read all this and I thought about why the author went into so much detail about the prophecies, the prophecies that Jesus's death fulfilled. And, you know, I'm not one to keep tabs on how many prophecies there are. So I had to look it up. One source I saw says that there are as many as 1,037 old prophecies that were fulfilled by Jesus. You know, and there are several sources out there. This was just one that I took a look at. There were as many as 48 of these prophecies were specifically about Jesus's crucifixion. And I stumbled across a couple of articles about a professor at Westmont College who calculated the probability that one man fulfilling, you know, just eight, not all 48, but just eight of these prophecies. I won't bore you with the methods he used, but what I found interesting was that he did collaborate with over 600 university students. And also he encouraged skeptics and other statisticians and mathematicians to critique his work. So after thoroughly ensuring that his assumptions were on the conservative end, and having his method thoroughly vetted by other academics, he conservatively estimated that that the chance of one man fulfilling all eight prophecies that he examined was the chance was 1 in 10 to the power of 17. That's one in a chance of a number with 17 zeros. And that's just eight of the 48 prophecies about the crucifixion, you know, and I simply can't wrap my head around the scale of these numbers and the high improbability that Jesus fulfilling all these prophecies was simply a coincidence. So my two takeaways are this. You know, if you flip these odds around and you only had 1 in 10 to the power 17, 10 to the power of 17 chance of failing, aren't you virtually guaranteed success, guaranteed victory? You know, these are the kinds of odds that were offered by God for our faith in Jesus. You know, for those of you who have taken GIC and understand the term, assurance of salvation, I guess this is what assurance means, you know. It is how we can trust that God's victory at the end of the book of Revelations is certain. But secondly, and what I'm in awe of most in this scripture is God's painstaking attention to detail in his plans. You know, nothing is too small, too mundane, or too insignificant for him. He doesn't overlook anything or anyone. You know, all these little details that were documented about Jesus' death. You know, they had significance. So, you know, God doesn't overlook anything or anyone. You know, he is his all-knowing, all-powerful abilities, but most importantly, his capacity to love us are fully demonstrated by Jesus's fulfillment of these prophecies. You know, for those of you who are parents out there, you know the amount of effort it takes to plan things for your kids, right? Whether it be a birthday party, an outing, a school project, you know, or even just lunch. You know, can you imagine God doing that for each and every one of our lives, you know, spanning across what we understand as time and spanning across this universe? And he does it so lovingly and willingly down to the very last detail. And don't you find that amazing? Now, you know, I'd like to invite Annie to lead worship while we meditate upon these two points, you know, like, and just express our gratitude for who our wonderful Creator is.
Your glory and praise by your mercy. worship you.
Now, thank you, Annie. Now we move on to the intercessory prayer for today and the One app. Dear Heavenly Father, O Heavenly and Almighty Father, who sent his only Son, Jesus, to live and die as one of us, save me. For all wisdom, all strength, and all glory is in you. You are my rock and my redeemer, my shelter in the storm. In you I place my trust so that I may have hope. Let me walk in your light through this holy week and in all my days, seeking only you. I give you my life to love and to serve you, following you in all that I do. In Jesus' name, amen. And now for our community prayer points. First, let's lift up those in our community who are battling cancer and chemo and radiation therapy and surgery. And let's just lift them up and just pray for peace and strength during this time, but most importantly for God's healing hand. And the next slide. We lift up those of us with loved ones who are yet to be saved and who are also suffering from illnesses. We ask just for God to be merciful on them and reveal himself to them and heal them of these various illnesses. Lift up those with infirmities in our community. Ask for God to give them strength throughout this time and just the joy to overcome these physical circumstances. right? We lift up those in our community. Thank God this list is getting shorter and shorter. But those affected by COVID, we just ask for God to give them a smooth recovery. And also just to protect those in our community who are vulnerable. Just pray for protection during this time for the elderly and those with existing conditions. And also to pray for our frontline medical workers. Just ask for God to give them strength and endurance during this time, and also an extra measure of protection at the workplace. We lift up those in our community right now who are looking for jobs. We ask for God's provision, and just for patience during this time, and with trusting God, knowing that He will provide the right job for those who are seeking right now. Now we will pray for our church, and today's mission focus is China. Let's lift up let's lift up our friends to the north, our pastors Hyunsu and Ricky and their families, and also the Chungs and various churches that we support across the border. I especially want to lift up P. Ricky's family at this time. I think I've read that it's not easy in Shanghai during this lockdown period. And just ask for God to continuously bring joy to their family during this time. And next, I want to lift up our board, Pastor Sam, Pastor Nate, Kiwan, Su, Xiaoming, Janie, Jung, and Monica. Just lift them up and ask God to give them wisdom for this position, and just an amazing capacity to lead, and stamina and endurance to do the work that's necessary. And our also lift up, let's lift up our fellowship ministries, our young adults alternate Sunday Bible study, also our men's ministry, their Monday lunchtime prayer, and also Pure Desire. And for our women's ministry, their Tuesday lunchtime prayer and their Betrayal and Beyond support group. So for our SP 2.0, the search for our building, the provision of resources for benefactor, and just to grow our vision fund. Just thank God for the provision. And also to lift up our sisters who are currently pregnant. We just pray that for healthy babies and smooth delivery. And just during this delicate time, I know so many of these sisters there's the added stress of COVID during this time. We just pray and bless them, Lord. I just pray that you give them peace about all the difficulties and logistic difficulties of giving birth during COVID. But Lord, we just trust that you will provide for them, and you will give them peace and just a wonderful time of delivery. Let's lift up the house churches that typically meet on Wednesdays. Charity, Fortress, Yah, Lido, Lion Rock, New Conduit, TST, and Westville. Let's lift them up and just pray for strong fellowship and for a connection to stay strong in their house churches despite the inability to meet right now. Ask for all these house churches to be able to provide support, prayer support to each other during this time. More slides? Yep. Okay, so let me close in prayer. Lord God, we just thank you for this holy week as Lent draws to an end. Let us just focus our attentions on you and just to understand what you've given us and the cost of your sacrifice. Lord, we just thank you for our church. Thank you for the city. We lift up the city and we just pray for restoration after this turbulent time, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you for all that you are in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you everyone for joining. And just see you tomorrow.